Hi, welcome everybody to our Life in the Trinity video for May 7th, 2023. And today's topic is Engraved with Christ. We're going to look at this passage in 1 Peter 2, 2 through 10. I'll at some point read it in the New American Standard Bible. We're going to talk about that, and we're going to have later on, some communion together, and then we'll close with a benediction. So if you want to get ready for communion now, it's a good time to pause and do that. But let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, thank you that we can gather today, and we're going to look at your son, Jesus Christ, and that's really what we do a lot of. And that is good because Christ is the truth of who we are as human beings in our relationship with you and each other. So, Holy Spirit, we pray you would awaken us to faith, to understanding, to whatever it is you have in mind, and whatever you don't want said, Lord, I just don't want to say that. And so, thank you and ask this all, Jesus, in your name. Amen. So, thinking about being engraved with Christ. I was last when I was putting this together, I was wearing a stone given to me by one of my children, and it's a pink stone, which is in a circle, and in the middle is a circle like to one side, but it's flat and it's shaped. It's really beautiful. It's kind of a neat stone, and it's hung on a black cord, and so I like to wear it every once in a while. And anyway, I was looking at it, and what struck me was how was it? I couldn't figure out how they had carved it without actually breaking the stone, because you had to put a hole in the middle of it. And so, did they must have special tools that they use to do that with. But it was just it got me to thinking, because I was reading the passage for today where it's talking about how Jesus is the living stone and we are living stones. And look at what God has done with all his children. And what we've learned so far as we move through the Christian calendar is how Jesus has forged into our human flesh, however broken it is, the likeness of God, which is we were made in his likeness to reflect it, to live in right relationship with God and each other. And so Jesus forged this into our flesh by God in human flesh coming into our taking on this humanity, but more than that, our human flesh, S-A-R-X, sarx. He takes that on and he lives the life we were meant to live and undergoes death at our hands and then rises from the grave and takes our new human flesh, glorified with him, into the presence of the Father. And so it's Jesus having done all of these things that enables us to begin to reflect the likeness of God when we begin to look like Christ, who is the exact image or representation of the Father. And so, thinking about this, we want to look at 1 Peter 2, 2 through 10. I'm going to read it in the New American Standard Bible. We'll talk a little bit more about this. We're kind of interrupted Peter's thought is where he says, we're like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. Have we tasted the kindness of the Lord? Absolutely. Jesus hung on the cross in the midst of our destruction of him, and he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. So we've all tasted the kindness of the Lord in some fashion in our lives. I mean, we get up and the sun's still shining and we can still breathe air of some kind and the trees are still green and the grass is still there in some places, and the flowers still bloom in the spring. There's so many ways in which we experience the kindness of God that we don't pay attention to a lot of times. But we have relationships, people who love us and care about us. And so God's kindness is all around us. And so we come to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. So even though we as human beings rejected Jesus, he was precious and choice to his Father. He was the elect one in whom we're all elected. He is the chosen one in whom we're all chosen to be children of God. So going on, so we're coming to him, Jesus, as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. Then Peter says, you also, as living stones, are being built in, up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So God joins us together by the Spirit into a spiritual house for spiritual community, for us to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God. So he goes on to say, for this is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. This precious value then is for you who believe. But for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this has become the very cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they're disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were also appointed. That's the result of stumbling, is you experience this opposition, shall we say, this resistance to what is real and true. So then he goes on to say, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So Peter is very, very strong on this reality that Jesus is the living stone in whom all of us have been called, forgiven, accepted, beloved, made living stones. And those living stones are meant to be bound together by the Spirit into a royal priesthood who serves God and shares the good news with others. There was a, God never meant for us to be isolated alone. He always wanted to include us in Christ, in his life and love, in the inner relationship of Father, Son, and Spirit. All of us are meant to be adopted children. None of us are meant to be isolated and on our own. And so God never meant for us to have to be apart from him. So in the gospel passage for today, in John 14, 1 to 14, in case you want to look at it yourself, John 14, 1 to 14, Jesus says to his disciples that he's going to go to his Father, home to his Father, to prepare a place for them. And this isn't about, I know a lot of times we go with, well, Jesus went as a carpenter to go build some houses for us, or some mansions, which some people prefer. But I think the point Jesus was making was more in terms of relationship. What Jesus was in the process of doing was forging within us that ability to have a right relationship with God. He was making a place for every one of us at the Father's table, in his life, in his own intimate relationship with the Father and the Spirit. God never meant for us to live apart from that. He wanted us to be a part of it. So Jesus was, through his incarnation, those are his tools, the incarnation, his life, his death, his crucifixion, his resurrection, his ascension. All of these are tools by which he forged into our human flesh our right relationship with God, our ability to live in that. He forged within us a capacity to participate in his own face-to-face relationship with the Father. He polished off of our human flesh all the sharp edges of sin and evil and death. He polished that off. He gave us new life. He made us living stones who could reflect the living stone, he himself. And in doing that, be a reflection of the Father. Now, our response to that, though, is how we live. Do we believe that this is true? If we don't, we'll live in a way that doesn't reflect that. But if we believe it's true, then our life will begin to reflect that. And it begins to show in the way we treat others, in the way we receive Christ and live in his life. In the story for today, in Acts 7, 55 to 60, we read about Stephen. Stephen was one of the first Christians or believers after Pentecost who was martyred. We see Stephen standing before the, I believe it was the Sanhedrin, but he was being in trial. He was in trial for his life, being told that he was blaspheming, and he wasn't. He was telling the truth is what he was doing. And as he's there saying what he was saying, the Lord gives him a vision. And he looks up and he sees Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Here is Jesus in face-to-face relationship with the Heavenly Father. This was the true spiritual reality. And Stephen could not help himself but say what he saw. He knew it was the truth. He was having a genuine experience of life in Christ and seeing the risen Lord, that he was alive, that he was real, that he was true. And so he said it. Well, the people that heard him, they did not believe him. He believed it was the truth. They did not believe his truth. And so, in this sense, this true reality of Jesus at the right hand of the Father in glory, the one who sent the Spirit for our salvation, this was the true reality, but they didn't believe. Now, Stephen believed, but they didn't. And so what was their response? Their response was they stoned Stephen to death. They stumbled over Jesus Christ. They stumbled over the risen Lord. They stumbled over this living stone. They did not believe. And so they crucified, in essence, by stoning Stephen. And so what's interesting, and you read that story, is who was standing there watching this and participating in this stoning of Stephen? Saul. And Saul is standing there, and they're giving him their cloaks and coats, and he was holding them and watching them kill Stephen. And what we learn later in Acts is that Jesus Christ, the living stone, had his eye on Saul. He knew Saul, and he knew his heart. He knew his passion for God. Saul wanted to do what was right in God's sight. He was trying to do the good and holy thing, but he just had stumbled over the stumbling stone of Jesus Christ. And later on, as he has papers to go to Damascus to put more believers in jail, he encounters the living Lord, the living stone. He encounters him in a way that he didn't think was possible. And then he had to deal with the reality of the spiritual reality, the true reality of a risen Jesus Christ, Lord of all. What does that mean? And see, that's what we come face to face with when we meet Jesus Christ for ourselves. There's no middle ground left. Do we believe, or are we going to be one of those who stumble and one of those who reject what it is he has shown us? Jesus has done everything we need to be in right relationship with God and one another. He has shown us how to love by laying down his life for the sake of those who rejected him, and the just for the unjust. And he has done everything necessary for our salvation. So the question is, do you believe? And that belief, as you come to faith in Christ, as you trust, begins to affect how you live your life, the decisions you make, the choices you make. And God's love begins, that is shed abroad in our hearts, begins to be expressed in the things you say and do. And of course, Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, you will lay down your life, pick up your cross, and follow me. You're going to do what the Spirit guides you and tells you to do. You're going to follow the lead of the Spirit. You will be guided by Christ, not by the old ways, the old human flesh. So a lot of times that's why we stumble at the stumbling stone of Jesus Christ, because we do not want a Lord other than ourselves in our life. Jesus Christ is Lord of all now. He has died our death and risen and sits at the Father's side, glorified human flesh. He's the one who reigns over all. And we have to deal with that. We have to come to terms with that, that someone has the right to tell us how to live our lives. Someone named Jesus Christ has the right to show us what it means to be human, to be loving, to be other-centered, to be serving, giving. What does it mean to be truly human? And Jesus now, because he forged that into our human flesh, lived our life, died our death, and rose again, he's the one who gets to call the shots. And he becomes either the living stone that we begin to resemble and become like by the Spirit, or we stumble over him, and we experience the result of that. And that leads us to communion, because in our gathering together at the table to take the bread and the wine or grape juice, we are affirming the essentials of our faith. We are participating in Jesus' death and his life. We affirm that we died with Christ, we rose with Christ, we share in his glory now and forever, and that is by the Holy Spirit that we do that. And so we want to come to the table again. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. This is to be reminded of who he is, that we died in his death, we rose in his new life, and he is the one we are nourished by, depend upon, and he is our life. We receive our life from him, because at any moment apart from him, we would cease to exist. So let's pray. Thank you for this food, this giving of yourself, Jesus. We receive it with gratitude and praise. We acknowledge our refusal so often to simply receive at your hand and to humbly obey. So we pray today you would give us faith, give us trust, and give us the will to obey through Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. So Jesus offered his body. Thank you, Jesus. And Jesus allowed his blood to be poured out for us. Thank you, Jesus. Now may our Heavenly Father and his Son, Jesus, the one who is the living stone and who is rejected by men, but was precious and choice in the sight of his Father, by his Spirit bless you, keep you, make his face smile on you, and give you his peace. May God be with you this week. Do take a moment to check out lifeinthetrinity.blog or the WordPress.TrinitySteady, OurLifeInTheTrinitySteadies.com, and check that out. We'd love to see you again next week for the Our Life in the Trinity. I guess it's a video or something. God bless.